The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
How dare you, little jabroni, come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People's Show. Come on to the Premier Show, SmackDown, and run your mouth about how you're the WWE Champion and run your mouth about how you're the game. Well, The Rock says, if you are the game, then quite frankly, you need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks! The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says.
Hello, and welcome to the NXT Cast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Miss Simi. How are you, Miss Simi? I'm doing very well, Glad to be here to talk NXT with you once again here on the CSPN.us. You can find NXT Cast on the web at CSPN.us. You can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio. All you have to do is search for The WrestleCast - the CSPN. Subscribe to the show logo that has the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign, and you'll get NXT Cast in your podcast feed each and every week, where we share our commentary with color on the black and gold brand. So we start off with Johnny Gargano. He's in the ring. He's got a wheel with him. He says he loves wheels. He's all about the wheel. And he's got a wheel of challengers. The idea is that he'll pick an opponent from it and reverse the curse of losing singles titles in his first defense. So it's got Tommaso Ciampa. It's got Damian Priest. It's got Roderick Strong. It's got Dexter Lumis. It's got Cameron Grimes. It's got, you know, some really heavy hitters. And then you see a handwritten entry that says Leon Ruff. So Johnny spins the wheel. It's going around. It's going around. Then all of a sudden, it stops going one way. It goes the other way. It's teetering in between Damian Priest and Ciampa. He's like, is it going to be Priest? Is it going to be Ciampa? Is it going to be Priest? Is it going to be Ciampa? And then it lands on Leon Ruff. So Johnny, you know, does the, you know, Roddy, come on down. So here comes Leon Ruff, like he just got selected for The Price is Right, like walking down the aisle, like, oh my gosh, for real, me, I can't believe it. So it's Johnny Gargano defending the North American Championship against Leon Ruff. Johnny spots Damian Priest in the audience and mocks him with his little arrow taunt. Of course, Damian Priest is behind like all that plexiglass and stuff, so Johnny's talking big shit. But all Damian Priest does is move from behind the plexiglass.
I know. I was like, Johnny, you're so dumb.
And he scares the hell out of Johnny, who gets rolled up. When he gets back in the ring, he gets rolled up for a two count. Johnny misses a super kick, and then he takes a tilt-a-whirl crucifix, and Leon Ruff pins Johnny Gargano, and Leon Ruff is the new North American champion.
Woo, the Sasha Banks curse has moved on to Johnny Gargano. Ooh, I laughed.
I was like, oh my God, they actually did this? I can't believe the WWE. Well, this isn't WWE. This is something different. I can't believe NXT actually did this.
I know. I was just like, oh my God. I'm like, good for you, Leon Ruff. You better, yes. You better win your first championship title. I don't care if you're going to be a transitional one-week champion. I don't care. You're a champion now. Good for you. You and your little skinny body.
This dude is so small. Leon Ruff celebrates with Damian Priest. Damian Priest goes to put the title around his waist, but he's so skinny that when he puts the title around his waist, it immediately drops to the floor around his ankles. It's
like, the camera angle killed me because they zoomed out to his feet, and I was like, why are you this? I laughed so hard. Oh, there were tears in my eyes. This was so funny.
You know how when everybody wins a championship, you know how they take that picture for Twitter with Triple H?
Yeah.
It's the same thing where they try to put the belt around his waist and it drops to his feet. So, you know, Triple H is always like pointing to the belt. Well, he's like literally pointing down at his feet on the picture. It's hilarious, too. It's like Leon Ruffley.
Oh, God. I'm like, you're a gem. Oh, you're a gem. Stay forever. Oh, so hilarious.
So he comes backstage, and Leon Ruff is immediately interviewed about the win, and he's blown away. Damian Priest congratulates him and gives him the keys to his car so he can drive off before Johnny gets to the bat, because Johnny's going to be pissed and he's going to be looking to kick his ass. So
I'm like, I'm looking out, Damian Priest.
So Leon Ruff, like, as soon as he like gets through the door, here comes Johnny coming through the curtain, and he is hot. He's arguing with Damian Priest. He's arguing with Regal. He's arguing with the rest. He's like, everybody knows I don't like wheels. This is just terrible. It doesn't count. There's no contract. There's no this. I'm still the champion.
It was a goof. It was supposed to be a goof. Whose stupid idea was this? Steve was like, it was your stupid idea, you idiot.
What was really funny, too, is right after he lost, and you know how the referee gets the belt from the timekeeper, Johnny Gargano's holding onto the belt like, no.
Yes. Play a tug of war with this butt you just lost.
He has leveled up as a heel since In Your House.
Ooh, oh my God, this is so funny.
He was entertaining as shit in this first like 15 minutes. So then we move on to a match that you've been waiting for. Santos Escobar versus Jake Atlas for the Cruiserweight Championship. We get a video package of what happened earlier in the day, as you know, Jake Atlas has been trying to even the odds up. So last week he got Raul Mendoza with that lead pipe. Well, this week he runs up and hits Joaquin Wild, gets him with the lead pipe, jumps back in the ride and skirts off. So because at first I was like, when they first showed Escobar standing in the ring and Joaquin Wild and the other dude, they like holding their sides and shit. I'm like, what the hell happened to him? It's like, what? It's like, did I miss something? And then they went back and showed it. I was like, oh, okay, now I got it.
Right.
So this is our Cruiserweight Championship match. Atlas gets going and hits some chops, but is knocked off the top rope to the outside. Atlas barely beats the count to survive and starts with some flash pins, picking up multiple near falls. Atlas then hits a series of moves, ending with a moonsault for a two count. He goes for the cartwheel DDT, but Escobar thwarts it, and he hits the legato and retains the Cruiserweight Championship.
This is good. I really like this spot. I'm like, ooh, you two. Give me a triple threat with Santos Escobar, Burr Scott, and Jake Atlas. Give me that. Give me that action, because, ooh, this was a really good match. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it was a really good Cruiserweight match. Jake Atlas, close, but not quite. I don't know who they're going to have knock off Escobar. Looks like he's going to be the Cruiserweight champion for as long as he sees fit.
Right. He's going to have that Roman Reigns title forever.
Dexter Lumis.
He's
making a cartoon drawing in the back. And he's drawing the zombie referee chasing after Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes has got his eyes all bugged out in the picture. I mean, it's a really awesome drawing.
Yeah. Do you think that's really him doing it, or is there somebody else in there? Like, come here, come fill in this line.
All right.
And act like you drew this.
Probably the second one. Shotzi Blackheart speaks in a vignette about her tank being destroyed by Candice LeRae. She says it's not just a prop, it represents freedom and her family who are in the military. She tells Candice that they are way past even. She's out to kick her ass.
This is a good, good promo. So good. It's like it explained like why the tank means so much to her. You saw that fire and that anger. Love this promo. Again, hey Miro from AEW, pay attention to how you're supposed to do these things, because this works. It's really good.
Raquel Gonzalez versus Xia Li. Well, Boa shows up instead of Xia. He apologizes and says that she can't have a match with Xia tonight. Raquel is pissed because Xia called her out.
Yep.
So Raquel takes her frustrations out on Boa, booting him and throwing him into the glass. Then she added the one-handed powerbomb to him on the inside of the ring. Raquel then shouts for them to keep her name out of their mouths. So after she leaves, the lights turn red and the arena gets smoky, and an older Asian gentleman limps to the ring, and Boa bows to him. He hands Boa a paper, it looks like another letter, and draws a weird design on his hand before leaving.
What is going on?
I don't know.
It's like that Nicki Minaj video. Guys, what's going on? That's all I kept saying the whole time. What is happening? I love Raquel's though. Like, keep my name out your mouth. I was like, yes, Raquel. Tell them.
Man, she beat the hell out of Boa. Good Lord.
Oh, poor Boa. Boa, you should have done this via video because that was a bad idea.
Stayed on the outside of the ring and done it.
Mm-mm, she would have found him. You got to do it via satellite so that she don't know where you at.
Yeah, so Raquel Gonzalez looked very impressive. Big mommy cool.
Yeah, she did.
So that's very interesting to see where we're going with this. I guess this is kind of like you said, this is some type of family ordeal with them.
Yeah.
And you know.
Do you think they kidnapped Zaya? Her daddy was like, you're not winning. I'm kidnapping you back to China.
Maybe.
And that was what the letter was.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm intrigued by this, though.
Me too. I want to know. Tell me the mystery.
Our next matchup, we have Candice LeRae versus Toni Storm.
And here we go. Oh, drawing forearms from Storm. LeRae trying to answer back, gets caught. German suplex with a quick release. And Beth, Storm's feeling it.
Storm trying to shake off the effects from those steel stairs earlier and doing a great job.
Toni Storm charging right back in with a clothesline. Storm trying to keep up the offense, follows up with a second.
Real head of steam here from Toni Storm. This arena coming
Fisherman suplex, bridge, cover. Oh, and a near fall. Candice LeRae just able to kick out. Storm climbing to the top rope. Candice LeRae sensing it. And LeRae now trying to answer back. Such a huge matchup for both these women, as you've mentioned, Wade, in such a highly competitive division, which has seen the return of Ember Moon as well. And Toni Storm holding on. Storm now looking down, misses the leg drop. Candice LeRae answering back and a kick right under the jaw. It's LeRae now into the cover. Another hook of the leg and another near fall in this matchup.
Candice LeRae getting frustrated.
Well, Candice LeRae from behind, shoulders down. LeRae with her feet on the ropes.
Doesn't see it. It can't. Uh-oh.
And Toni Storm not having any of it. I mean,
sore loser.
Beach sore loser. Toni Storm looking right at Candice LeRae.
Storm was robbed.
Wait a minute. There's that masked figure again. Beth, it's 2-on-1.
The figure that tried to interfere in Halloween Havoc to help Candice LeRae.
And Toni Storm being beat down. And there's Shotzi Blackheart. Blackheart making a beeline right for LeRae.
Exploding with rage. Of course, a crush tank on her mind.
Oh! Family on her mind. Veterans Day on her mind. And Shotzi Blackheart with one woman on her mind. That being Candice LeRae. But whomever this masked figure is.
Come on, Blackheart. Let's go. Get him out of here, Candice. It's over with.
It's LeRae barking out orders.
How much did the Gargano's pay this person off?
Oh! Come on. Wicked stepsister.
Shotzi Blackheart.
Wait a minute. Oh my. Indy Hartwell.
Thievery.
Yes, it was.
Played my girl, Toni. This is a good match. Love this match, too.
This Toni Storm is the best.
She's so good.
Isn't she? I'm like, yes.
I wanted her to win. I'm like, damn it. Heel Candice. But heel Candice is kind of growing on me, too. But this is good.
It's like the Scooby-Doo mystery, right?
Yeah. Look, it was Mr. Hartle all along. It wasn't a ghost. Would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
So
this is good.
Yeah. What we kind of figured from a couple weeks ago is that here we go. Indy Hartwell is now officially a part of the Garganos, I guess, because there is like a backstage exclusive interview, and Candace was like, she's basically my daughter.
Oh, Candace. Oh, my God.
Breezango says it took them years, 5 years to get to the top, and it was ruined by Pat McAfee, who isn't even a wrestler. Tonight, they won't be there to have fun. They're here to win.
Yes. He pulled it. He doesn't even go here.
Right. August Gray, the gentleman from the Thatch Can, was getting interviewed in the back, and the interviewer was basically asking him, you know, why he came out last week to and attack Timothy Thatcher. Well, of course, Timothy Thatcher sees this and runs up on my man, and they have a brawl in the back. Timothy Thatcher's like choking him out, throwing him all through the performance center, and he happens to throw him right into Dexter Lumis's picture. And so he turns around, he looks at Dexter Lumis, he's like, Lumis, I ain't got no problems with you. But William Regal makes the match, so it's Dexter Lumis versus Timothy Thatcher. The Swanton Bomb connects from Dexter Lumis to Timothy Thatcher when Cameron Grimes shows up. Thatcher is then sent into Cameron Grimes. That allows Thatcher to pull Lumis into a pinning combination, and he gets the win. Cameron Grimes jumps Dexter Lumis, but he pops up and sends him packing. However, Cameron Grimes drops his arm over the rope and then puts a burlap sack over Lumis's head before dumping him to the outside. Since he can't see Lumis while he swings the chair and misses, Grimes sits him in the chair and then does the cave in. And he's basically like, look into my eyes now, Dexter Lumis. Look at me now. Look me in the eyes now. And he's got this burlap sack. It's like, hey, you're going to suffocate this man. You're witnessing a murder on live TV.
He's a zombie bender. He'll be fine.
Dexter Lumis versus Timothy Thatcher, though. I was highly entertained by that.
So was I. It was good.
It was
very. It always entertains me that Dexter Lumis fights in like stretch jeans and a polo. Like, sir, where are you going? He looks like he's about to go to dinner with a young lady. Like, let me be as real quick before we go to freaking Cheesecake Factory. Like, damn it.
So earlier when Johnny Gargano was going like crazy, Stephen Regan was like, you need to calm down. If you want to talk to me and discuss this, you need to calm down. So Johnny Gargano was outside of Regal's office. He says that he's calmed down and he's ready to, you know, talk to him about this decision. Well, Regal says, hey, man, it was your idea. It's all, you know, everything's final. So Johnny goes off the handle again, saying he's still the champion. It was a goof. It was only a joke. And Regal's like, nope, decision still stands.
So funny. He was like, okay, I'm calm now. I'm ready to speak. No, you can't do that. Like, you're Johnny. This is your fault. Like, literally, nobody asked you to do this. You decided. Oh, he's great.
Tommaso Ciampa cuts a promo backstage and talks about how the NXT roster likes to say that they're tough more than they like to prove it. He says the change is needed in 2020, and he is the one who is going to initiate that change.
Yeah, whatever. Of course you're going to say you're tough. You're a wrestler. But you're going to be like, oh, I'm not the toughest. I'm not the baddest. I'm simply, no, bitch, it's wrestling. Of course I'm going to say I'm the toughest, because I am. Duh.
We get a prime target to hype the upcoming Io Shirai versus Rhea Ripley match. Rhea was on the road to regain the title after WrestleMania, but Io won it at TakeOver In Your House instead. They are now on a collision course, and they will meet for the title next week.
Ooh, this is good. I really, really like this promo.
Io says she's not afraid of nightmares.
Yes. She was just like, listen, it's me. It's by myself. See, these promos do better to like build up Io's like what her character is, because before they're like genius of the sky, I'm like, okay, but like what's her real character? So I like this, that she's just like, I don't accept failure, it's just me, it's just like I'm the lone wolf, I'm gonna beat everybody, it's just me on my own, I don't accept failure. So I really like that. She was just like, I'm not afraid of you, bitch, you're not gonna come here, this is my title. fuck off. So she was here for that.
She was like, it took Rhea like 3 months to get over losing to Charlotte. Exactly. She's gonna take her even longer to get over losing to me.
That was my favorite part. She was just like, it's been months. You're still crying. You're still getting over it. Well, it's not gonna get any better here, babe. I'm gonna beat you. And I hope she does. Even though I like Rhea, but it's Io forever.
That's right. Before the main event of the evening, Pat McAfee cuts a promo, calls his stable the best four-man group in wrestling history. He joins the commentary team after putting over Burch and Lorcan as the top tag team in the world. So he's on thievery. Backstage, Cameron Grimes brags about beating up Dexter Lumis since he covered up his creepy eyes. He says he's got somewhere to go now. To the moon!
I love him.
Next week, the Prince returns. Yay. The NXT champion, Finn Balor, will address the NXT universe.
My man is coming back. Thank God.
Looks like Karrion Kross is close to coming back as well.
No.
Well, yes, that's
unless
a win.
Unless he gets Scarlett.
I was about to say, that's the only way we're going to get Scarlett, so that's a win. We'll
all right, bye.
Yeah.
I'll deal with Karrion for Scarlett.
Exactly. So now it's main event time. Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan defending their NXT tag team titles against Breezango. Fandango takes them both out with a somersault to the outside as Pat McAfee distracts the referee. That's when Drake Maverick appears, getting revenge for Killian Dane. He hits Oney Lorcan with the enziguri, then takes out McAfee with a somersault. Fandango then hits the leg drop off the top for the two count. Pete Dunne then runs over Maverick and also hits Tyler Breeze as well. Fandango doesn't see the tag and he eats a headbutt before falling to the elevated DDT, and the champions retain. Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan are your winners. Drake Maverick comes off the top rope and takes out Danny Burch. Of course, he's outnumbered and takes a beating from all four men, including an X-plex from Pete Dunne onto the announce table. They also beat up on Breezango. Breeze is lined up for Pat McAfee to punt him, just like he did Adam Cole, which he nails. And that's how we end the show with Breezango and Drake Maverick laid out on the floor. And the brand, the kings, the empire, whatever you want to call them, standing triumphant at the announce table. So that was this.
War Games is coming.
NXT.
War Games is coming. This has to be setting up to War Games or something.
Yeah.
They got to get taken down.
That's what a lot of people are starting to kind of put together, is that this is going to be when Undisputed Era finally makes their return in full, that is going to set up the War Games match.
Yeah. But Breezango and them, they got to get some get back. They need to get back, though. So, Drake Maverick tweeted a thing where, like, when he did that dive on Pat McAfee, he was just like, I made Pat McAfee kiss my ass. Oh, that made me laugh.
Pat McAfee hit hard, too. Like, he wasn't expecting that.
Right. I was like, ha-ha. He's good at getting heat. Because I was just like, God damn you, Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he is a heat magnet for sure. You can tell that he grew up watching and wanting to be a wrestler more than maybe a football player.
You can tell that he's one of those ones when you play video games on like the little headset, he will talk trash and make you want to strangle him. He's one of the ones. Like if you watch Up Up Down Down, how Kofi is like the biggest troll when he like plays video games with people, Pat McAfee has a beat. He has to. Because that man, he's good at garnering heat.
Again, we don't really have a lot of the major players showing up on this show. But thanks to Johnny Gargano and a surprise title switch, unexpectedly, a couple of banger matches between Jake Atlas and Santos, and then Dexter Lumis and Timothy Thatcher. This was a really, really entertaining show.
It was fun. I wish my Breezango would have gotten their championship back. It'll happen soon.
Yes, it definitely will. And anytime it's Tony time, It's a good night. Yeah. NXT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I really like when she decided to just beat Candace down afterwards. I was like, yes, that's right. That's a legitimate reason to do it, because bitch, you cheated and you're not going to play me. Loved it.
Not to mention she had like a pre-match promo where she called her a punk rock poser. Like, oh.
Yeah. Oh. I'm like, really? You're going to insult me, and but you can't beat me without cheating? Get these hands. Loved it. Great.
So do you feel like they've done enough to build up the Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai match that we're going to have next week? Do you feel that they have, because they haven't really had much physical interaction, but mm-hmm. do you think those promos and those video packages have done enough to get you ready for the match?
I think we needed maybe one more promo or even one more interaction, but I think that the story they've told kind of like parallel with each other. Because it's like, it's Rhea trying to get back from losing and like trying to climb herself back to the top. And then you have Io who's here, who's trying to keep her spot at the top. So you know that eventually they're going to have to collide because Rhea is climbing up and Io is running out of competitors to like beat. So I think that like the trajectory of their story, even if they haven't really connected as much, I still think they've done enough to be like, oh, these two are going to have to fight again. They're going to have to fight again. Because every time someone comes up and it's like, well, who else is there for Io? Rhea's name always comes up because she has to kind of like, she's been working her way back up. I think maybe they just needed maybe one more face-to-face confrontation. Maybe not like a fight, but like a, you know, like a head-to-head thing. But I'm still excited for this. I think they've done a decent job, though, of building it. I just think maybe they're missing maybe like one more conversation.
Okay. So, yeah, that's going to be the highlight of next week's show. It's going to be Io Shirai defending that NXT women's title against Rhea Ripley. So I know that the hashtag will definitely be on fire for that match.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see the return of somebody from the Undisputed Era next week. Maybe Adam Cole, Bebe. We'll finally show back up on the scene and, you know, so we'll get the setup moving forward. But yeah, I really enjoyed this episode of NXT, even if it did have some of the, you know, more of a mid-card feel to it.
It was
a lot of fun. There was a lot, like I said, Johnny Gargano has leveled so far up as a heel that hit every time he was on the screen, it was just,
it just hit
entertaining as hell.
He's just so funny. He just has like the little like thing just like down. He's just so obnoxious. He gets so angry so easy. It's just so funny. He's so good. He has it.
All right, Miss Simi, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to you for your shout outs and thank yous.
Well, shout out to you, Don, as always. Shout out to the CSPN family and the WrestleCast family. Shout out to our listeners. And shout out to, you know, those in the hashtag. Shout out to our patrons. And shout out to Dakota Kai. She wasn't on, but she probably looks good. So shout out to her. Just because I love her.
I'd like to give a shout out to Miss Simi for joining me once again on the NXT cast. It's always a good time to talk these, give these reviews. Also, check us out over on our Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Where you can hear us review AEW's Full Gear and this week's episode of Dynamite. So please become a patron over on the Patreon page. Subscribe to the Dark Match and listen to that content each and every week. Also give a shout out to Mr. Anwar Starwin, who helped me record the latest episode of Cast of Strong Style, where we reviewed Power Struggle 2020. And we also look forward to the Best of the Super Juniors and the World Tag League, which will be going on simultaneously starting on Saturday. So this guy is going to be watching a lot of wrestling for the
World Tag League.
Yes. For the next month. So basically they have two, but usually the World Tag League is the very last tournament of the year. They have the Best of the Super Juniors, which usually takes place in the spring. They have the G1, which usually takes place in the summer. And then they have the World Tag League, which takes place in the winter. And so everything got discombobulated with the COVID pandemic and everything. So they shifted the G1 into the fall. So we just finished that.
Oh.
And
Yeah.
Now they're running the Best of the Super Juniors and the World Tag League together at the same time. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's a lot. Those four wrestlers.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of matches I'm going to be watching, but New Japan is my guilty pleasure, so I'll be loving every minute of it. Give a shout out, like Miss Simi said, to everybody who joined us in the hashtag NXTcast each and every week. Thank you guys for supporting and sharing your commentary with Color. We definitely appreciate it. Thank you to Terry's Boy, What Sleep Though, Madame Lizette, Miss Jade to the Max, Samuel Kalunga, Miss Didi Jonet, Magnum Prime, and everybody else who is a part of the WrestleCast family, Mr. Moat to the underscore Reese as well. Check us out on the latest edition of the Rawcast, where we talk about the lack of a build to SummerSlam and how it hasn't really drawn a lot of interest for us this year, unlike it has in the past.
Survivor Series.
Yes, Survivor Series. Double S. Got me all confused. Survivor Series, yes. Thank you. You know what I meant in my heart. so, yeah, go ahead and check that episode of the Rawcast out. Also, check out me and Anwar Starwin over on the extra edition of the Dark Match, where we're talking football and some wrestling as well. We'll have a little Mo to the underscore Reese on the Dark Match as well. So there's a lot of content coming out on the Patreon page that y'all really need to check out. Get that extra content over there by becoming a patron and supporting the podcast. And also do your shopping through Amazon.com, through CSPN.us. Help keep the podcast free each and every week here on the CSPN. We greatly appreciate you guys supporting the podcast and the WrestleCast and the CSPN the way that you do. So for my co-host, Miss Simi, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been the NXT Cast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Good night, guys.
I am approaching 16 years in this industry, and over that time, I've come across some tough guys. Hell, I still remember early in my career training with guys like Killer Kowalski and Harley Race. You want to talk about tough men? Funny thing though about Killer and Harley, they never took liberties. Never told you how tough they were. They didn't have to. You just knew. But times have certainly changed. I look around the NXT locker room nowadays, and apparently, everybody's tough. They don't believe me? Just ask them. They'll have no problem telling you just how tough they are. I suppose maybe it's the world we live in nowadays. Complain and get rewarded. Bark loud enough for long enough, and people begin to fear your bite. Actions without consequence. I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit old school. Hell, I never thought I'd be the last of a dying breed. But I told you 2 weeks ago, and I'll tell you again now. This culture, this 2020 locker room culture, it's going to change. And Tommaso Ciampa is that change.